In the next three lectures, we will focus on algorithms, on a family of algorithms known as methods of feasible directions, which deal with the problem we developed the optimality condition for yesterday. So, the situation is the following. We want to minimize a function f from Rn to R over some subset capital X of Rn. The basic assumption we make here are the following. X is convex, is a convex set. So whenever you have two points in the set, the full segment between the two points lies in the set. Okay? And the other assumption we make is that f is smoothing up, is, let's say, continuously differentiable on Rn. Okay? I will not repeat this assumption anymore today. Yesterday, we developed optimality conditions for this problem in the following way. Necessary condition for a point x bar to be a local minimum of our problem is that the scalar product of the gradient of f at the point, let's call it x bar, with the direction x minus x bar is greater or equal than zero for all choices of x inside capital X. Okay? This is the simplified version of optimality condition we achieved at the end of the lecture. Because we started without assuming X, capital X, to be convex, and we had a bit more complex result in terms of the direction we could choose. The basic idea here is the following. If this is X bar, and this is X, okay, X minus X bar is this vector here, and its scalar product with the gradient of f at x bar must be greater or equal than zero, that is, this angle must be less or equal to 90 degrees, or if you want to take the opposite of the gradient, this angle has to be greater or equal than 90. The directions which have this shape are called feasible direction for capital X at X bar, because you can move away from X bar to X along this direction, remaining inside the feasible region. Okay. And this is due to convexity. Okay. So, up to the multiplication of a scalar term, of a positive scalar term, feasible directions for a convex set are done this way. Okay. So, somehow, we can call this, in our new framework, the new stationarity condition. We can say that the point is stationary for our problem if it satisfies these inequalities here. Okay? We also show that if capital X, sorry, capital F. No, sorry, no capital. If F is convex as well, then this condition is necessary and sufficient for the demand. Okay? So, the goal of the algorithm is to find an F bar satisfying this condition. The basic idea of this class of method is pretty simple. Okay. The methods will fall within the usual scheme we have. We move away from a current point along some direction decay with some suitable step. Okay? The scheme is always the same we met before. Okay? As directions, we will take a feasible direction. I'll show you. Let's suppose we are in some point xk. And first thing is to require is that this xk is feasible. Okay? That we in this way we want to generate an xk plus 1 which is feasible as well, in such a way that we generate a sequence of feasible points, and we would like, let's say, the limit or the cluster points to satisfy this stationarity condition. What's the basic idea? Is pretty generic and doesn't specify details. Afterwards, today and tomorrow, I will show you concrete algorithms which apply this this basic idea. I am at the current point. I want to know whether it satisfies this or not. Okay. So the question here is, is it true that this color product is greater or equal than zero for each x in the feasible region or not? Okay. If the answer is yes, we are done. Okay. Yes? Yeah, we did it. If not, it means, no, it means that there exists some x, okay, let me call it xk bar in the visible region, such that this quantity is negative. Have, let's say, another point here. The direction dk will be exactly x bar k minus xk. It means it is this direction. Direction here is at the same direction for us, according to what we have seen in the first semester. So I expect that moving along this direction away from xk, the value of the function decreases. Okay? I'm sure that if the step is small enough, the value of the function decreases. So the idea is to take a step along this direction here. Okay? For that request, we want xk plus 1 to be feasible. Okay? Well, it is enough to not move too much. Okay? Let's say this is the situation, I draw you another one. Let's suppose xk is here, and let's suppose x bar k is here. Okay? If I take the set, which is too long, I will get out of the physical region. Okay? When am I guaranteed to be in the feasible region? Okay, let's write this one. Xk plus dk. Dk is actually xk plus dk x by k minus xk, which is, if you write it, it is 1 minus dk xk plus dk x by k. Xk is feasible because we have chosen it so. X by k is feasible as well. So, since capital X is convex, whenever I take t, k between 0 and 1, I'm inside the physical region. So, this is always in the physical region if t, k is between 0 and 1. I find out a feasible direction, which is of the same direction. I take a step along this direction, a step which is less or equal than 1, so I'm guaranteed that this point, which will be xk plus 1, is still feasible. In this way, I'm generating a feasible sequence. Okay? So that feasibility is not an issue. Because the main difference with unconstrained optimization is that feasibility may become an issue, okay? May become a trouble. In this way, I'm guaranteed it is not, but, okay, how do I choose a step here? Well, I could do exact line search, but limited in the sense that I do the exact line search restricting dk to be between 0 and 1. Okay? If the actual minimum is farther, I will not consider it. Or I could do an inexact research. Okay? So, the basic idea, we know that an exact line search is difficult to perform unless you are of a particular kind of function. So, let's choose tk according to some line search, and in particular, the Hermitian line search. Okay? So let's say that a generic algorithm here is done in the following way. I choose some feasible x0. I consider the iteration counter to be 0. I start it as 0. Then I check the stationarity condition at the current point.
So if the gradient of alpha xk times x minus xk is greater or equal than 0 for each x, then I stop because I got to a stationary point.
Okay?
If not,
I choose
some x bar k in capital S such that
this color product is negative. Okay? One exists because this is false. So at least one exists such that this quantity is negative. And I perform
and compute some tk in between 0 and 1 such that the admittal condition is satisfied. So I move away from xk along the direction x bar k minus xk
of the set tk to get to the new point, and then I update the iterate counter and I iterate. Point here is the following. We already know by this picture and this reasoning here that we generate a sequence xk made of feasible points. Okay? All the sequence xk generated by this scheme is made of feasible points. I just refresh you a bit your memory on the Amico condition. Okay, so let me cancel this blackboard and we have the Amico condition. The condition states the following,
that t satisfies it if f at xk plus t times, please let me denote dk the difference between x bar k and xk, so I write less,
okay,
plus dk is less or equal than f at xk
plus
t1 times t times the scalar product of the gradient of f at xk with the direction dk.
Okay? When we studied this Amico condition, we proved that if dk is in the same direction, and this is the case, okay, here we are taking this in the same direction, this condition is satisfied whenever t is small enough. Okay? We know that this condition is
satisfied by any t between 0 and some upper bound, tau for some suitable positive tau.
There exists a positive tau
such that any t between 0 and tau satisfies the Hermitian condition.
This is what we discussed in the first semester about this kind of line search. And the easiest way to perform this line search is to, let's say, use a simple procedure by which we start with some t, then we take a fraction of this t, let's say 1 half t, and if 1 half t doesn't work, we take 1/4 t over 4, if it doesn't work, t over 8, and so on. Okay? So some sort of easy detection procedure. In our framework, we start, let's say we start, we choose, let's say, some coefficient between 0 and 1, okay, 1 half, the ratio at which we will diminish t.
We said t equals 1, then if t satisfies a neutral condition, then we stop. Else, you replace t by psi, the gamma times t.
Okay, so it's smaller.
And you go, back to point. Okay,
the easiest procedure you can imagine. Take 1, then take 1 half, then take 1 over 4, and so on, okay? In case gamma is equal to 1 half. Generally,
it means that this procedure stops taking t equal to gamma
to the x power, to the s power,
where s is let's say the number of iterations of the procedure. Or if you want to say in other terms, is the smallest integer number such that gamma to the s power satisfies the Hermitian condition. Okay? This is what we are saying. Okay? S equals 0, t equals 1 does not satisfy. Let's try s equals 1. It means let's try gamma. If it does not work, let's try gamma squared. If it does not work, let's try gamma to the third power, gamma cube, and so on. Okay?
So it's easy. All you need, all the information you need to have is the possibility to compute s. Okay?
Oh, okay. And it's radiant. We have already computed.
So, the scheme we have having here performs Hermitian condition in this way, okay? This is a part of this procedure here, okay? You perform the choice of the steps satisfying Hermitian condition by this procedure, okay? If you perform it in another way, the procedure may not work. Okay, there's a number of things I did not tell you.
Okay.
I tell you, take MATLAB or any other programming language you wish and code this algorithm. Okay? With this information on the blackboard, you can know. Why? Because there are two steps which are not algorithmically defined. Step two, how do I check the stationarity condition? Okay? Here I told you check it, but I didn't give you a way to check it. Okay. Second step, second thing I didn't tell you is point three. I told you choose some xk bar which contradicts stationarity, but I didn't tell you how to do it. Okay. So what I gave you is a general scheme for this kind of algorithms, but it is not a concrete algorithm. Okay. Concrete algorithms depend upon the way you perform these two steps. Let's make them. How do I check stationarity? And how do I choose a feasible descent direction if stationarity is not satisfied? Okay? Different algorithms perform this task in different ways. Okay? And today I will show you one, and Thursday I will show you another one. Okay? So, why didn't I give you just the concrete algorithms? Because you can prove some properties which do not depend on the way you perform these tasks. Okay? Some properties which are shared by all the algorithms which are done this way. Okay? I'm stating you the property, and I'm not going to prove it, because the proof is boring, because the proof is similar to the convergence of the gradient methods with their Mikl entropy. Okay? Same ideas. If you like proofs, you can check on, you can check it in my notes. But the ideas are exactly the same of the unconstrained case. Okay? Indeed, now I erased it, here, the trouble of feasibility is solved. Okay? Because we know that by choosing feasible direction and step size, which are less or equal than one, we generate a feasible sequence. So we don't have any issue with feasibility. And so the proof is similar. Clearly there are some differences, but the ideas are exactly the same. It's not a convergent result. It's the first part of the convergence result. Okay? To prove convergence, concretely prove convergence, you will need to say how you perform these two steps. Okay? One second. I can cancel this because this is the description of the procedure. So, let me call it a proposition. And suppose, first thing, that the convex set capital X is compact set, so it's bounded and closed. Okay? So we lie inside the ball. And let XK be the sequence generated by let's say the algorithmic scheme which we name feasible direction. Okay? We name this scheme here, together with this procedure, the scheme of feasible directions. Okay. Then what you can prove is the following, and I will not. If you take the limit as k, oh sorry, there are one thing, okay. Let's also, please allow me not to write it. Let's suppose that the algorithm does not stop at step two, okay? We never find a stationary point and we generate an infinite sequence, okay? Otherwise, there's nothing to prove, okay? So, if I could say, let be, yeah, here I could say, let be an infinite sequence generated by the algorithmic scheme, then the limit as k goes to plus infinity of the scalar product between the gradient of f at xk and the direction dk, let me write it explicitly this way, is zero. Okay? Let's remember, this is dk, okay? Our, the direction along which we move. Okay? Whenever you make concrete choices for steps 2 and 3, okay, exploiting this property, you can prove convergence. Okay? Rather than the proof, it's interesting to me to make you notice the following. Please remember the gradient method. Okay? In the gradient method for unconstrained optimization, we asked, we wanted that the direction we choose, dk, and the gradient of f, do not become, as iterations go by, orthogonal. Okay? We clearly ask for their angle to stay bounded away from 90 degrees. Do you remember? And indeed, when you choose as a direction minus the gradient, that is always satisfied because the angle is always pi. Here, what you get is exactly the opposite. Okay? In the limit, the gradient and the direction become more and more orthogonal. Still, asymptotically, they become really orthogonal. Okay? And, funny, here, this is what makes the algorithm work. Okay? What did not work in the unconstrained case is the basic tool here. What, sorry, you did not want in the unconstrained case is the basic tool here. This assumption that the feasible region is compact might seem restrictive, okay? It is. You can relax it. If you perform additional care in choosing the step size, okay? This is just a remark for your own knowledge, because you should go inside the proof to see it. Compactness is important, because by compactness we know that the sequence we generate xk has cluster points, okay, and it is bounded. And also, since the direction we choose are the difference of two points in a bounded set, this difference is bounded, because the norm, let me write it here, the norm of this direction is less or equal than the sum of their norms. Okay? And this is in the feasible region, so it is bounded. And this is in the feasible region, so it is bounded above by constant. So the key point in the proof here is to have that the sequence is bounded, that xk is bounded, and that also dk is bounded. Okay? To prove this, the key point is that. And this is the easiest way you can prove it. Okay? You can relax this, replacing the compactness of S with the compactness of the sub-level set. So, the set of points in Rn, or let's say in capital X, such that F at X is less or equal than F at X bar is compact. Okay? This is really a weak function. What's the trouble here? This is not enough alone, because we are producing a sequence of points xk, which lies here, because this is a descent method. Okay? At each iteration, the value of the objective function decreases. So our sequence is here. So xk is bounded, the sequence xk is bounded, but this is not enough to have that the directions are bounded. Okay? So if you want to have a weaker assumption here of compactness, you cannot choose any xk bar. You must choose the direction d in a suitable way. And the suitable way is to you can take a direction, you can take any positive multiple of the direction. Okay? So we can use a multiple in such a way that the direction of the is bounded. Okay? So if you want to prove convergence under this result, as dk you must take some gamma here, some gamma k xk minus x bar k minus xk, such that the norm of the direction is bounded for some given m, which does not depend on the iteration, okay? And in that case, you cannot, and then you can perform this same line search. Okay? So, if you don't want the compactness of the feasible region, the compactness of the sublevel set of the initial value is enough if you choose directions which are bounded in norms. Which means I have to choose a gamma k here. Okay? This gamma k could be, for instance, the norm of this vector. Okay? Notice that x bar k can never be equal to xk. Why? Because if they were equal, this would be zero, and so this would be zero and can be negative. Okay? So, but this is just a remark. Okay? So it's also purple, you don't see it well, so you can, if you want, you can forget it. I'm interested in this, okay? What you do not want in the unconstrained case is what makes these algorithms succeed here, okay? Sounds a bit of a paradox, okay? But it is not. So, it's a bit early, but I would take a break now. After the break, I will show you a concrete algorithm, okay, concrete way to choose this, and if we have time, also some numerical examples on the computer. So, if you have any question, any curiosity, I'm here for you, okay?